continue in to finish up last week, the packets from last week about Kriyat Shema. Then we're going to do the second part of Kriyat Shema, which is a new source sheet that I have that's going to talk, that we're going to focus on the brachot that we say before and after Kriyat Shema. That's going to be the new material.
Can you do a little bit of what we did last week?
We're gonna review, and then we'll finish up. Last week we started by we spent a lot of time talking about whether the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah d'oraita or a mitzvah d'rabbana. And in the Gemara from source that we had in source one, Brachot Av Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, Rav Yehuda says that if you have a doubt whether you said Shema or not, Safek Kara Kriya Shema, Safek Lo Kara, if you have a doubt whether you said Kriya Shema, you don't repeat it. And the Gemara is very clear, because he thinks that it's a mitzvah derabanan to say Kriya Shema. So Safek derabanan Lekula, when there's a doubt about a derabanan, we don't do it again. So Rav Yehuda's, the Gemara clearly gives his reason, that if there's a doubt, don't say it again, because Shema's the right, and the Gemara asks there's psukim, uvishach b'chob kumecha, there's psukim, the Gemara answers, that's talking about Talmud Torah. Those psukim are about the mitzvah of learning Torah, they're not necessarily about the mitzvah of saying Shema. So that is Rav Yehuda's opinion, and Rabbi Elazar says, if there's a doubt, you should say Shema again. The Gemara doesn't say why. Most of the Rishonim say Safek De'oraita L'chumer. Rabbi Elazar thinks that it's a De'oraita. We noted that there are Rishonim who read the Gemara differently, either from a different gear, so from a different text in which both of them think it's a mitzvah De'oraita. There's Rishonim who say that both of them really think it's a mitzvah De'rabbanan. But the basic reading that most of the Rishonim go with is that it's a machlokin in the Gemara about Kriyat Shema's mitzvah d'oraita or mitzvah d'rabbanan. Then we talked about, okay, well, which part of it is a mitzvah d'oraita? And we had four opinions, four options for that. Either the first pasuk, just Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the first pasuk and the first parsha, the first pasuk, the first two parshiot, and the first pasuk and the three parshiot. And that was what we saw in Pnimei Halacha, just to get some of the names. The Ramban, the Ra'a, the Rashba, in Source 3, the Ritva, the Me'iri, the Rashbeitz, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, the Beis Yosef, they all say that it's just the first Pasuk. Then I think, do we quote the Talmud? And then Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah think that it's the first Parsha. And the Pri Chadash thinks it's the first two Parshas. And the Aruch HaShulchan quotes from Rishonim who, some of this is, we're not clear about what the Rishonim don't spell it out for us. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks that some of the Rishonim say the whole thing. And that's what we saw from the Rambam. If we jump to take a look in Source 5, the very end, the last line in Halacha Gimel of Kriyat, the very end of the line, is Kriyat Shalosh Parshiot Elu Al Seder Zehi Hanikre Kriyat Shema. That the reading of these three Parshas is what we consider to be Kriyat Shema. It sounds like the Rambam thinks all three are Doraita. But even that is not, we talked about this a little bit last week, even though it sounds like it, not... Well, the later Rishonim, early Achronim, commentaries on the Rambam, they all argue about what the Rambam thinks, but we have this as a machloket. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that we saw in Source 7, that when in doubt, you must repeat Kriyat Shema, sounds like it's a mitzvah d'oraita. He doesn't exactly, the Mishnah Brura in Source 8, on the Shulchan Aruch Siman Samach Zayin, he says you have to repeat it because it's a Doraita, but he doesn't exactly, nobody exactly poskins which part of it is a Doraita or not. The Mishnah Berurah says that according to the opinions that say that only the first Parsha is a Doraita, if you know for sure you said the first Parsha, but you have a doubt about the second Parsha, then you probably wouldn't have to repeat it. But I didn't think it was an equivocal, the Doraita is only the first Pasuk, or the Doraita is the first Pasuk and the first Parsha. And he also notes the interesting takeaway is that if he thinks that if there's a doubt about some of it, you should still repeat all of it. Even if we're going to assume that the third parsha, the tzitzis, is a derabanan, you normally would say, oh, that doubt about you don't know what you said, so doubt about a derabanan. Don't say the third paragraph again because it's a derabanan. So the Mishnah Berurah says, no, really, we kind of take this as one unit. Even if parts of it might be derabanan, if there's a doubt about any doraita element of it, you should repeat it. And then last week, we're not going to see this inside, but Eric, if you want to take a look later in Source 9 and 10, very, very nice in the Panini Rock about the whole Seder of Shema, what we're accomplishing, what one thing leading into the next, what the goals are. We talked about that. Now, right, we're just doing a quick review here for a few more minutes. We talked about how Shema is unique. Shema, and we'll see in Shmona Esrei 2, also the first I think the first paragraph of Shmona Esrei. Shema is unique in that usually we say that you don't need to understand every word. You don't need to have a kavana of knowing exactly what you're saying to fulfill a mitzvah. That's what in the Shulchan Aruch says. There's a machloket, mitzvot tzrichot kavana or no. The answer is, the Shulchan Aruch says, yes, mitzvot, you need kavana. But the kavana that you need for the mitzvah is knowledge that you're doing a mitzvah. It's not, you don't have to know exactly what you're doing, you just have to know. You're doing a mitzvah, God told you to do a mitzvah, and that's the kavana that you need. So if you're blowing the shofar to make musical notes on Rosh Hashanah, you didn't really have kavana because you weren't doing it because of any sort of mitzvah. You're doing it because you like the sound or something along those lines. So the Shulchan Aruch says, and then this we also saw in Source 13 from Rabbi Borofsky, we generally assume that you have the right kavana from context. That's usually the assumption that we make. If somebody goes to shul, you know, they went to daven, that's a good enough kavana for davening. Just the fact that you showed up. There's a lot of, we generally assume, unless somehow you make it clear otherwise, we assume context gives you the right kavana, so you mitzvot, you have the kavana. But Shema has an additional requirement in that you need to have specific kavana in the first pasuk. Specific kavana to understand what the pasuk means. So ideally, we want to understand every single word there. We also, I think, we saw that the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, if you're in different letters with the Echad, you're supposed to be accepting God as the King of the heavens and the earth, and the Dalet, you're supposed to have the Dalet Rucho in the word Echad. You're supposed to have Kavana that God is the controls all the different directions. You're supposed to have these kinds of kavanot. And if we take a look in Source 15, in the top two or three lines, the Pnine Halacha says, V'nira shebidi avad, gam im lo kivein leferush hameduach shal kol mila v'kol shein, bidi avad, if you don't have kavana for each word of Shema, im haven ba'ofen klali et mashmaot hamilim, if you understand the general idea of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which he says, she'inyanam kabalat o malchut shamayim, it's accepting the yoke of heaven upon us. It's accepting, I think we might have seen these words last week, ein od milvado, that God, there's nothing else like God, no entity other than God. God is the being that controls the heavens and the earth. If you have this general kavana, that's at least bidiyavad, that's sufficient. And he says, and if you didn't, in the third line, if you're totally spacing out, and you don't even think about that Shema is supposed to be about accepting God upon the world and upon us, you don't fulfill Shema, and you have to go back and say it again. And that's what I said, that's what I said last week. Maybe the most important thing from 3 years here is that there's a mitzvah d'oraita to say Shema, and if you don't have a basic understanding of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that God is, Hashem is our Elokeinu, is our God, and that He is one, there's only, with a capital O, there's only one, if you don't have that, then you did not fulfill the mitzvah of Shema. And you would have to repeat it. Right, safik d'oraita, mitzvah d'oraita, l'chomer. You have to repeat it. And he, the Pnine Halacha notes, I think oftentimes a person could just finish it and then realize, hey, wait a second, I was not thinking about what I was saying just now. If that happens, he adds that it's good to wait at least a few seconds, based on I don't know if he quotes it from this Mishnah or not, but based on I think it's a Mishnah in Baruch that says if you say modim, modim, mishtakin oto, that if you say modim two times in a row, we silence you because it sounds like you're saying mod, you're thinking two different beings, right? So in Shema too, if you said Shema and you didn't have Kavana, and then you said Shema like right afterwards, 2 seconds, right, mamash, right afterwards, then it might look as if maybe you're saying Shema to two different beings, God forbid. So it's a good idea to pause for a few seconds if you realize that you didn't say that you didn't have the right kavana, and then say it again. And this is what we basically, that's what we talked about last week. And that leads us to the, we also noted the Shulchan Aruch says a few, the Shulchan Aruch gives a few halachot because of the kavana that you need for the first pasuk. You cover your eyes so there's no distractions. You sing, you say it out loud so that it increases kavana. These are all kinds of, I don't know, tricks. These are ideas to increase kavana and make sure you're having kavana. If you're covering your eyes, you're not looking around the room, so you have nothing else to focus on and you can focus on the words. And the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch says that you should read it slowly. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, I don't know if it's a medrash, he quotes the Torah from Rav Amram Gaon, that you should read Shema as if you're reading a proclamation from the king. If a king issues a new proclamation, I guess this would be probably a pretty good equivalent would be like the Supreme Court issues a new case, the tax court issues a new case. Right? You want to read it very closely to understand exactly what it's saying. So too for Shema. Shema is the proclamation from the king with the capital K. So we want to read it slowly so we understand the whole thing and we can take it all in. And now, I think that was everything that we did last week. So now we'll go to see source 18 inside, and then we'll do a few other smaller topics in Shema, and then we'll talk about the brachot of Shema. In source 18, the Panini Lacha tells us, Rabim einam yodim shasiba hamir kazi lekriat parshat vayomer kedei lekayim bat mitzvot zichur yitziat Mitzrayim hamuzker b'sofa. One of the main reasons that we say the third parsha is to fulfill the mitzvah of remembering the Exodus from Egypt, remembering yitziat Mitzrayim. V'chol elu she'enem yodim zot einam yosim yidei chovatam v'nei shegam im nishalim madu karo parsha vayomer lo yadu shehi kedei lahaski yitziat Mitzrayim nimsa shafilu kavana reduma in biyadam. So he says, because most people don't know this, they don't even have any sort of, I think that's what he's saying, any sort of contextual, any kavana that you can even take from context, that they're fulfilling the mitzvah of remembering yitziat Mitzrayim. Therefore, lefichach tzarech lelami berabim. Therefore, we need to publicly teach. Shakorim vayomer kidei lahaskir yitziat Mitzrayim. Therefore, we need to publicly teach that vayomer, the main part of vayomer is remembering yitziat Mitzrayim. And that's the last pasuk there. That the last pasuk is remembering leaving Mitzrayim. So when you say that, you need to have some type of understanding, or that you're saying this to remember Yitziat Mitzrayim, understand the words you're saying. I think a lot of the Sidurim, actually, if you look at all the small print in there, before the third paragraph, they'll say, in this paragraph, remember Yitziat Mitzrayim. Sometimes they say, sometimes there's a note before the last pasuk there, that with this pasuk, we're remembering Yitziat Mitzrayim. Because these are all, you don't need to have specific understanding of each word. You need to have just a general idea that you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Yitziat Mitzrayim. So that is one halacha that, another halacha. We have three more here. So now, what about Baruch Shem Kevo Machlato Le'olam Va'ed? This is pretty interesting. Where does it come from? Because it's not in the Torah. When we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then we whisper, and also we'll see in a second, why do we whisper? That's a medrash, yeah. Good. There's a medrash that has it, but it's not a pasuk. It's not a pasuk. So,
from the Malachim, didn't they say that? Is there a...
Yeah, we say that the Malachim say that, yeah, so in Yom Kippur we say that out loud, right? I don't know if that's, it must be a different medrash, yeah. Yeah. So if we take a look in Source 19, in the second paragraph, the Pnei Lacha quotes a Gemara, Misupar b'Talmud, Shelifnei p'tirato shel Yaakov avinu nesvu kol banav eila v'ratza legalot lahem et ketza yamim. So when Yaakov was on his deathbed, he gathered all his children, and he wanted to reveal when the ultimate geula would happen, the end of days, what's going to happen. I think Rashi quotes this. I believe Rashi quotes this on the Chumash. V'nistako mimenu shechina. And as soon as he says that he wants to reveal what's going to happen at the end of the days, the shechina departs from him because he's not supposed to reveal it, so he doesn't end up revealing it. V'lo yachol legalo lemetiket. He can't do it. But he, Yaakov, all of a sudden feels that the Shekhinah left him. And he gets a little bit concerned. Amar Levanav, so he says to his children, Shema yesh bechem misha eino hagun. Maybe the Shekhinah departed from me because one of you is not appropriate, not fit, not doing good things.
Wow.
One of you is not worthy. Avraham sheyatzam imenu Yishmael, and he says just like my grandfather had a son Yishmael, ucha avi Yitzchak sheyatzam imenu Esav, and my father had a child Esav. Maybe one of my children is also not good. And that's why I can't reveal to you the end of the days, because somebody amongst you is a Rasha, is not good. So. So what did his children say to him? They say, Shema Yisrael, which I think in the Medrash at least, Yisrael sounds like it's a reference, because Yaakov's name was Yisrael. It sounds like it might be, they're specifically addressing their father. It might be, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Say, no, we accept God, i.e., we're all worthy. Well, it's not because of any of us that you can't reveal the end of days. And then, Kishem she'ein bilibcha elechad kach ein bilvavenu elechad. Just like they say, just like in Yaakov, just like you, Yaakov, you have one God, you serve one God, so too all of us serve one God. Ba'otasha patach Yaakov amar. So then Yaakov is very happy, and he says, Baruch she'ein kevo machuto liolam ve'ed. Blessed is the name of God's kingdom forever and ever, right? It's a response to it's Yaakov's response to Shema Yisrael. So now this is where the pasuk comes from. Yaakov, the son says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and Yaakov gives this response that indicates how pleased he is, and he blesses God's kingdom. So then Amru Chazal towards the end of that paragraph, Uma. So now, what should we do? Chazal are trying to establish davening. They're making the tefillah. What should we do? If we put this in, harelo nichtav v'parsha. It's not written in the Torah. Shema is composed of parshiot that are all from the Torah. This one is not. This line is not. Lo nemar. So what should we do? Should we not put it in? Yaakov Avinu said it. Yaakov says, Baruch Shem Kavo Malchuto. So therefore, it's a compromise. Compromise is we whisper it, it's not saying it out loud, and it's not omitting it, it's a compromise. Pretty interesting, Medrash. I don't know how literally to take all of it. But this is why we say Baruch Shem Kevav Malchuto Leolam Va'ed. And in the next line, V'hu Nechshav Kehemshech LeKabbalat Malchut Shamayim SheBePasuk Rishon. It really is connected to the first pasuk, right? Yaakov said it in response to Shema Yisrael. Therefore, V'lachein Gam B'chov LeChavin LePerush Hamilim. Therefore, you also have to understand what it says. We said a few minutes ago, you need to understand Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. At least generally, you also need to understand Baruch Shem Kevav Malchuto Leolam Va'ed. However, I think that in the footnote here, and also somewhere else in the Mishnah Berurah, it seems to be a big machloket. If you didn't have the Kavana, whether like Shema, you have to go back to repeat it or not. Here, he quotes from this Mishnah Berurah that you should go back to repeat it. In the footnote, it goes from a Bir Halacha, but I think I also went a week or two ago, found another Mishnah Berurah who I think implied you wouldn't have to go back to repeat it. So I don't know exactly the bottom line. I mean, if we look in footnote 4 here, he quotes the Levush of the Magen Avraham, that you have to go back and to repeat it, but he quotes a few other early Achronim who say you don't, and they bring a very strong proof why you wouldn't have to repeat it. The Gemara says that if you're copying over Sefer Torah or something like that, right? So you're saying like word by word Shema, and you're writing Shema, or you're doing something along those lines, you fulfill the mitzvah of saying Shema. We just said Baruch Shem Kavod is not a pasuk. There's nothing that if you were really doing that, you would have totally skipped Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto. And the Gemara still says that you fulfill the mitzvah. So it seems to be a strong proof that you wouldn't have to go back necessarily to you wouldn't have to go back. He quotes the Aruch HaShulchan also. So at the end of the day, it seems to be a bit of a machlok within the Mishnah Berurah, within the other or Achronim with the post game, whether you should have to say that or not. So I guess if it's practical,
if you're reading the parsha, if that was the parsha of the week, where the Shema is located. The thing is, when you say the Shema, and then you go to the Bia Hafta, there is no Baruch Hashem Kavod.
Right, right, exactly, exactly. That seems to be a proof that you don't have to say Baruch Hashem Kavod to fulfill the mitzvah.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't have to go back if you forgot it or if you didn't have Kavana for it. Yeah, right. Seems to be a good proof, yeah.
The Kavana related, which is the Kavana? I mean, the Kavana is not what Yaakov originally said, because his Kavana had to do with, you know, in response to what the children are saying.
Yeah, but he was...
it's like you're saying it...
Yeah, but he was saying it as a praise to God. So right. that would be the Kavana to say.
Yeah, the same like, context, really, because you're saying, you know, in response to your own statement.
Right, right, right. I heard a shiur a few years ago about this whole... the responsiveness of it. Yeah, yeah. Right, when we're saying it, we're not necessarily saying it in response. We're affirming what we said in the previous line, which is kind of what Yaakov was doing. Maybe not. Maybe Yaakov was not affirming it, but he was responding, and we're affirming. Yeah, it's a good point. So that is Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Ved. Now, two other halachot before we get into the brachot that I think are maybe lesser known and important to know. The Shulchan Aruch says in source 20 in Siman Samech Chesif Bet, Kara Kriyat Shema V'Nichnas LeBeit HaKneset. You already said Shema. You happen to come into Shul. U'matzat Tzibur Shekoren Kriyat Shema. You come in right as they're about to say Shema in Shul. Tzarech likrot imahem pasuk rishon. You have to say the first pasuk with everybody else. Shelo yireh ki ein arotz lekabel o malchut shamayim im chaverav. Right, the first pasuk we talked about, accepting the yoke of heaven, accepting God. If everybody else says it and you don't, it looks like you're not interested in accepting God. So if somebody comes to shul late and everybody else is saying Shema, we'll talk about that in a second. If you already davened and everybody else is saying Shema, you should still say the first pasuk with them as well. First pasuk, you don't have to say more than that. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this as other tefillot. He doesn't give examples. If there's some type of divrei tachanunim, some tefillot in shul, and they're all saying it, he suggests you say that also. But I don't think he gives examples. I don't remember if the Mishnah Berurah does. Then he says, if you're at a point of davening where you can't stop, and the Mishnah Berurah here says that if you, in source 21, lo yafsik, that really, even in Psuke de Zimra, you should still pause. If you're very late, let's say, or something like that, and you can't skip anything, we talked about this already a few months ago, you can't skip anything to get up to the Tefillah B'Tzibur, so what should you do? You should start saying Psuke de Zimra to yourself. So now, you're up to Hashrei, or you're somewhere in the beginning of Sukkot Zimra, and everybody else is saying Shema. At that point in time, you have to stop, say the first pasuk with everybody else. If you were in the brachot of Kriyat Shema, which is we're more strict about stopping there. If you're already somewhere in those brachot, what you should do there is actually cover your eyes and say what you're saying with the same tune as everybody else. I don't know if it sounds like this was maybe in a time and a place where they had a more standard tune, and nowadays I don't think, there's not necessarily a tune. But you would have to do something to show that you're not being porish min atzibur, that you're not separating from the congregation. So if you're at a place in davening where you could stop, like in your Psuke de Zimra, so then pause and say the first pasuk with everybody else. If it's later on, then cover your eyes and kind of say what you're saying with some type of tune that everybody else is using. And this is one important takeaway that I think is lesser known about hearing other people. You pop your head into shul for a second, and they're saying Shema. So you should cover your eyes and say Shema with them, the first pasuk. And the Shulchan Aruch actually says, and go back to source 20 in Sif Gimel, that even Kara Kriyat Shema v'nichnas l'beit haknesset v'nimsa tzibur shekorin Kriyat Shema tov sheyikraim im kol Kriyat Shema v'ikabes charki kori batorim. Might as well say everything. They're all psukim in the Torah. If you're in the middle of davening and it's your psuket izimra, then don't do these unnecessary interruptions. Then only the first pasuk. But if you pop your head into shul and everybody else is saying Shema, you must say the first pasuk. And if you have two more minutes or three more minutes, say the whole thing. It's koriba Torah. It's reading psukim in the Torah. It's a good thing to do. So this is one halacha that I think is lesser known. And the second, yeah.
Yeah, you can say it's lesser known because whenever you can see in most minyanim, people are behind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, and yeah.
And the fact is that you're the fact that you're davening, even you did a section, sort of, even though, so if you're davening to Hashem, and obviously you have the consciousness that, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu was there, you still need to join in with this, with the tzibur.
Because, yeah. It's definitely lesser known. Also, because there's so many minyanim going on, and people are always coming in and out, and this and that. I don't know if this is necessarily agreed upon by everybody. I think in Pesukei Zimra, I think I saw this a few years ago. If you wanted to, you could also, maybe the Mishnah Berurah says it, I don't know. You could cover your eyes and continue saying what you're saying to some, as with the tune that they're using. But to not do anything while everybody else is saying Shema, that's a big problem. Either you should cover your eyes and say the first pasuk, or you should say what you're saying, but with the tune that the tzibur is using, out, like you say it out loud, you kind of use the same tune out loud a little bit, so that you're joining with them to accept the Ol Malchut Shamayim. So this is one halacha. Then the last halacha from this packet, in Pnei Halacha, in source 22, Mitpalalim v'karin kriyat shema sheshachar im tefillin. It's very important to wear tefillin when you say Shema. Why? Because you're reading all about Ukshar Tam Le'otal Yadecha. So the Gemara says, if you say Shema without tefillin, Ki'ilu Me'id Edut Sheker V'atzmos. It's as if you're giving false testimony. You're saying, and we have a mitzvah to wear tefillin that I'm not wearing. Therefore, you should, it's not, if you can't, so like, if you can't, you can't. You know, if you don't have tefillin, you left them at home, whatever the case may be, but to deliberately go ahead and say Shema without your tefillin is going to be a problem. Not a problem like in you were violated a lota, say, it's just a bad idea, bad thing to do. Since the first two paragraphs each have the tefillin, should wear tefillin when you say Shema. That's also, I think, lesser.
So when we see sometimes people that are putting their tefillin on for mincha, what did they do for shachrit?
So that, I presume most of the time they were in a situation where they didn't have their tefillin, in which case you daven without it. You should say Shema. If you say Shema without tefillin, you fulfill the mitzvah of Shema. It's just if you have tefillin, you should put them on. So I presume that the people that do that, maybe they slept till noon.
They say Shema.
Oh, that's your question? The question
I think they actually do say Shema. If they put tefillin on.
Your question is, what do they do in the morning, or should they say Shema in the afternoon?
Both. In other words, when you see somebody putting tefillin on in the afternoon for mincha, you assume that they didn't put it on in the morning.
Right, that's
so
what
that
I
mean. My question is, not okay, so one, what did they do in the morning when... And then, okay, so you're saying they didn't have tefillin, they just woke up
in time for mincha, I don't know.
The Shema when they put the tefillin on in the afternoon.
I think that people generally do that. I don't think it's
after the time.
I don't think they're doing it, they're not doing it to fulfill the mitzvah of Shema, as far as I know. It's not, it's too late for Shema. Right. They're doing it because there's four parsha with tefillin in them, so you say the four parsha, just gets Kikori Batorah. That's like we just said, for the person who said Shema came into shul, and should say it again because it's Kikori Bator. I think that's what they do. They're doing
that. Is it possible that someone would put their tefillin on in the morning and, you know, do the regular davening, and then for some reason put the tefillin on again in the afternoon for mincha?
I'm sure there's people who do that. Don't some Spartan do that on fast days? Some people.
There's a. I guess he's one of the rabbayim. He stands in the front at the yeshiva.
Yeah.
And he must teach there. And he always has his tefillin on mincha. Now, I don't know if he put it on and he's had it.
Right, he might have had them on all day.
Oh. This is a Marty Spector son-in-law, so I noticed whenever you see, he almost always has a
tefillin. He's filling, yeah. Yeah. There are people who are tefillin all day.
Right, I know, right.
I think in general, the post game saying not to do that.
Right, not at that level. So.
But yeah.
Okay, no problem.
Isn't there a section in Pesukei Zimra? There's a little section, I don't know where it is.
That has Shema in it?
It has the Shema where you first say...
Yaakov's
two names, Yaakov Yisroel, Yeshuan, then it says on the bottom that if you think that you're not going to be able to say the Shema in time with the congregation, you can say all three right now.
Yeah. That is there. So that takes us into our next topic now about the brachot. Because over there you're saying Shema without the brachot attached to it. So this is
we'll,
yeah, that's when people would be doing that because of the Zman. I think not everybody. I think most poskim say to do that, but there are some achronim who say that. There is one that I came across when I was preparing for this that specifically says not daven by yourself because it's better to say the bracha with Shema than to just say Shema without any of the bracha.
Even though you're going to be saying it again anyway with the bracha later.
Right.
You're saying you should not say it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's going to, we'll talk about that here.
Wow.
Okay, so we're not going to finish this today. Well, we started today. I guess we'll see how far we go. So we're going to talk, part two here is about the bracha that we say in Shema. There are other Shema topics. I think we're not going to do them in general, like interruptions, places to say Shema, or not places where you shouldn't say Shema, if they're dirty, smelly, things like that. I think we're probably going to skip those topics and go from this into Shemona Esrei. So we'll start with the brachot of Shema. Begin with Baruch Hu. So Pnini Alach, I just put this in as a good introduction here. We start with Baruch Hu. Ikar inyano she Baruch Hu liftoch a birchot kriyat Shema. Baruch Hu is an introduction to saying Shema. She behaskar Baruch Hu kori achazel mipalim lomar birchot kriyat Shema. Baruch Hu is a calling out of let's say brachot. Let's bless God. Praise God. You could also say Baruch Hu as a praise of God, like we say at the end of davening. It's the Ikar Takanato is to introduce the Kriyat Shema. I actually recall hearing or reading that Rav Soloveitchik didn't like saying the Baruch Hu at the end because he understood Baruch Hu as a call to prayer, and when you say it at the very end of davening and everybody walks out, he thought that was the opposite of what you should be going on. Definitely the minhag in Israel is to say Baruch Hu at the end, and the minhag in Chutz La'aretz, to the best of my knowledge, in every place I've been, is not to. So this is Baruch Hu is a calling out. It's a let's pray to God, let's praise God. That's what Baruch Hu is. And in the second paragraph here, he says, there's a lot of minhagim here. This really is more of a tangent, but I thought it was interesting. There's a lot of machlokes, a big machloket. Should you stand up or not? Standing up for Baruch Hu. And for everything. Devarim Shebikdusha. Don't. Leminach Rova Sfaradim. Most of them. I think that's what he says here. I think if they were standing from beforehand, they continue standing, and if they were sitting from beforehand, they continue sitting. At least some Sfardim. So he says here, "Leminah grove Sfardim ain't zarech lamo lekriat aniyat dvarim shebekdusha." Aval misha kvar misha kvar haya omei zarech lishar lamo bekadosh yivarchu. If you're standing, then you should stay standing, and if you're sitting, then you can stay sitting. But v'rov Ashkenazim noagim lamo beit aniyat kadosh yivarchu, and the Ashkenazim stand up. But he says something interesting here. Omnam at the end of the third line, legabe Baruch Hu shehaniya alav kitzar, for Baruch Hu, which is very short. Noagim rabim mibnei Ashkenazim kvar hayu yoshvim. So bnei Ashkenaz, if they were already sitting down, kigom bekriyat Torah olifnei ar mariv. Not for shacharis, you'd be standing already because you kaddish, or you're already standing. But if it's the kriyat Torah, or it's Baruch Hu at night time, so he says she'ain kamim legamri. They don't stand up fully. Ela rak mitromim ma'at miakisei veichonim. They kind of get up a little bit. I always thought that was because they were being a little bit lazy, but he says it's because it's very short and like that's what.
I like Soloveitchik's statement. That makes a lot of sense.
The Baruch Hu one, I think at least for some, in some times that if you said it before Aleinu, that to me sounds like okay. Well, we'll say Baruch Hu and then we'll go like that's the Minhag Sfarad. Also, I think.
So they say it after the Kaddish.
They say it after the Kaddish, and then Aleinu. So, but sometimes you say it, you mamash say it at the very, very end. And it could be that when you respond Baruch Hu Hashem Hamvorach Leolam Va'ed, that's accomplishing. That maybe that's a response. I think there are some who say that.
Because I've heard people say that if the person who at the end says Baruch Hu, and then after the congregation says, and then they don't say Baruch Hashem, then they've really have not fulfilled it properly. In other words,
because they don't say they don't repeat it after.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't.
Because sometimes you hear people repeat it. Some people don't repeat it.
Right.
But people have said told me that if they don't repeat it, then it's
okay. So he says that because it's a short response. Baruch Hashem and Baruch Lilavet. It's okay. It's legitimate to kind of half stand up or half not. Okay. So now the brachot of Shema. We have a Mishnah. Mishnah in the first parak of brachot in source 2. B'shachar mivarech shtayim lefaneha v'achal yachareha. In the morning, we say two brachot before Shema and one after. We already see that the brachot are from the times of the before the Mishnah, from Chazal, very old. We say two brachot. The first bracha is the whole thing, Yotzer Or Varechoshech, all the way until the end of Yotzer HaMe'orot. That's considered to be one bracha. And the second bracha is Avarabah. And then one afterwards, that's Emet V'Yatziv, all the way until Gaal Yisrael. That's the bracha after. Okay, two brachot before and one bracha after in the morning. Uva erev mevarech shtaim lefaneha ushtaim liachareha. And at nighttime we say two before Shema and we say two after Shema. Okay, achad aruka v'achad kitzara. This is a machloket about what we're talking about here. I think I saw in Kahati that Rashi says that this is talking about the nighttime brachot, that one of them is long, and that's Emunah Kol Zot, has a lot of different ideas in it. We call that a long bracha, and the other one is short. I think he quoted from the Rambam that a bracha arucha is when it starts with baruch at the beginning and ends with the baruch at the end. And if it's kitzara, it's just has a baruch somewhere in there, the beginning or the end, but not both. And then the Mishnah says, "Makom sha amru laharich ein rashay lekatzer lekatzer ein rashay laharich." If Chazal said that it was a long bracha, you can't make it a short bracha. And if they said it's a short bracha, you can't make it a long bracha. You can't change the bracha that Chazal told us. And lachtom, if they said bracha at the end, ein rashay shelo lachtom. You can't take out the bracha at the end. And shelo lachtom, if Chazal didn't put a bracha at the end, ein rashay lachtom. You can't add your own bracha to the end of it. What we have from here is the brachot of Kriya Shema are, well, derabanan, and we already know them from the Mishnah. Okay, now the question is going to be, what type of brachot are they? And this is going to be very, very important. And we will get this from between source 3, 4, and 5, from the Shut HaRashba, from the Rambam, and the Chidushei HaRamban. So the Shut HaRashba, there's a very interesting question to the Rashba in source 3. She'elat she'alta od lefima shapirish Rashi zal gabi matnitin. So whoever the questioner was asked according to Rashi from the Mishnah Brachot, me'ema taikorin et Shema ba'arvit. When can you start saying Shema? Nighttime. Mishasha konim nichnesu lachol b'trumatan. At the time where the Kohanim become tahor when the sun sets, so now they can go eat truma. Okay, nighttime. Before this, it's daytime. If you say Shema before nighttime, you do not fulfill the mitzvah of saying Shema at night. Okay, now, so why do we say, even in Rashi's time, beforehand, they were davening Mar before it was nighttime. If so, Rashi says, why do we say Shema when we daven in shul, if we don't fulfill the mitzvah with it? I don't know what time sunset is today. Let's say sunset is 8:05. That's probably say it. I don't know. Let's say it doesn't matter. You don't have to check. It's okay. Let's say it's just 8 o'clock would be the time to say Shema. And in shul, they had Marv at 7 o'clock, right? So you don't fulfill Shema, according to Rashi. Early Shabbos. I mean, that's why you repeat Shema after.
Right.
But so Rashi says you don't say Shema. Im kein lama karnata bevet hakneset. Okay, so the shul has Mariv. Why do you say it even? Why do we say Shema at an early Shabbos if you don't fulfill the mitzvah with it? And Rashi answers kidei lamo bitfila mitoch divrei Torah, because we want to say divrei Torah. We want to say psukim to before we go into Shemona Esrei.
I've often wondered that question. Thank you.
Before we go into it, it's Rashi, and we see from the Rashba, he quotes the Yerushalmi. It's Yerushalmi. Why do we say Shema? Because we want to say David. We want to say Shemona Esrei, mitoch divrei Torah, from saying words of Torah. I guess you could say, well, why these as opposed to anything else? And we talked last week about how important Shema is, and maybe just because it's the same thing if you daven later, so we want to keep it the same format. So you say this. So now, here's the question. This was all introduction to the question. Imkain, at the third line down. Tamahu she'imkain lama korino tabe virchotaha. Why do you say the brachot of Shema? I understand why you say Shema. You want to say Shema Nesri from Torah. Why do you say the brachot of it? Deha'akati lo matazmana. It's not time yet. Va'avrina mishum baltisa. You're actually over. You're saying God's name in vain when you say these brachot. The questioner is very clear. The questioner assumes that the brachot of Kriyat Shema are a birchot hamitzvah, a bracha that you make before doing a mitzvah. And what he's saying is, if you're not doing the mitzvah when you say Shema at 7 o'clock, how can you be saying brachot that you're doing on the mitzvah at 7 o'clock?
Okay.
This is the question to the Rashba.
Good okay. question. Makes sense.
Okay, what's the Rashba going to answer? What's he going to answer? The questioner assumed that they are birchot mitzvah, so the Rashba is going to answer. They're not. Yes, that's going to be his answer. Just logically, they're not birchot mitzvah. They're not bracha. They're not a bracha like Hallel. They're not a bracha like Al Mikra Megillah. They're not. Right, we've talked here about the generally three categories, birchot hanehanin, a bracha that you're going to make before you're eating, birchot hashevach, which is a bracha that you make praising God, like birchot hashachar, I think we talked about those being a birchot hashevach, birchot haTorah. This was the same question we had for birchot haTorah. Or birchot haTorah, or bracha on a mitzvah, and then, if so, what do you have to do? You have to do the mitzvah right afterwards. Or are they a birchot hashevach, they're a praise to God, in which case they're not really connected necessarily to anything. So the questioner, to me, assumes it's a birchot hamitzvah. And so now let's see what the Rashba says. So the Rashba says, Shuva divrei Rashi zal min haYerushalmi. So first he explains the whole Rashi. Digarsina hatam tani hakore kodem lachen lo yalsei yidei chovato. That if somebody says Shema before nighttime, they don't fulfill their mitzvah. Imkein lama korino tabevei takneset. Why do you say Shema in shul like we just said? Amar Rabbi Yosi ain korino tabevei takneset ela lamo betfila mitoch divrei Torah. Like we just said, you want to say divrei Torah before saying Shema. And now he responds to the question. Uma shetahamta imkein heyach anu korin ota bevirchoteha. And what you are wondering, how could you say the brachot on Shema, which a brachot, if you can't fulfill the mitzvah, if you can't fulfill the Megillah, you wouldn't say, you can't say Am Mikra Megillah. You don't say Am Mikra Megillah when you're practicing a week before. You can't say the brachot on the birchot mitzvah of saying Kriyat Shema if you're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. So he says, "Al titma, don't worry, don't ask. Not don't. It's okay. De brachot shel kriyat shema. I underline this. Einan birchot shel kriyat shema mamash kivirchat haTorah kivirchat haMitzvot. These are not like other birchot haMitzvot. Sheim kein hayelanu leverich likro et shema. If this was a birchot haMitzvah, what is a birchot haMitzvah? You'd have to say Asher kiddushanu beMitzvot avitzivanu likro et shema. That would be a birchot haMitzvah." That's a Amikra Megillah. That's a Birchot HaMitzvah. And I underline this. Ela Birchotayan Shenit Knu Bifnei Atzman. These are independent brachot. Ela, and we'll talk about this, we'll come back to this point next week. These are Birchot HaShevach, at least some of them, brachot that we praise God. We praise God for Yotzer Or, for creating day, for creating the world, like Yotzer Or, creating daytime and nighttime. Ahava Rabbah, if you recall, we talked about how if you didn't say the Birchot HaTorah, you can fulfill your Birchot HaTorah. Ahava Rabbah is a praise to God for giving us the Torah. Praise to God for giving us the Torah. But these are not, well, there might be other ways to read this that also will come to next time. These are not birchot haTorah. Mm-hmm. These are independent brachot. Ella, after that underlined, ella shetiknu la'omer lifnei kriyat shema ulo achara v'chein iskimu ha'gaonim zal. What are these? These are independent brachot that are not birchot haMitzvah. That when Chazal were sitting down and is making all the tefillot, they said we take these two brachot, we say them before Shema. They're not inherently connected to Shema, but we say them before Shema. Lefichach, Misha Kara Kriyat Shema below Birchotah Chozer Omer Birchotah Bifnei Atzman Ve'in Bechaklim. And that's why he says, if somebody said Shema, but you didn't say the brachot of Shema, you go back, you fulfill Shema. You always fulfill a mitzvah even if you don't say the bracha. So you fulfill Shema, but you go back and you just say the brachot by themselves. You go back and you say the brachot, and you don't have to say Shema after them. Says that's clear. Because they're not a birchot haMitzvah, you can say them without without leading into Shema even. And he brings, okay. And he says, now, there's no problem. There's no more problem because it's not a birchot ha-mitzvah. And now he says, and here's the answer. This was an interesting line that he doesn't explain. He says, when you daven marv early, you can say that. You're allowed to say those brachot then too. Nothing's stopping you from saying the brachot early. That's what he says. Here, we'll read that line again. In the next paragraph here, in the three lines up in the bottom, in the middle. She'ein ha-brachot birchot ha-kriya. They're not birchot ha-mitzvah. Ve'im barchan kodem zmanam. And if you said them at 7 o'clock for your early Shabbos, ein b'chach klum. No problem. You're allowed to make a... Oh, yes, that's it. You're allowed to make a... Here, I understand. You're allowed to make a birchot ha-shem, v'achta ha-shem, whenever you want, more or less.
So then, but when we repeat, if you repeat Shema, you don't say those brachos again, no?
If you repeat Shema, you would not say those brachos. But if you understood them as a birchot ha-mitzvah, I probably always forget that this. A lot of this year came from Rabbi Brovsky from Yeshivat Har Etzion. He quotes multiple Rishonim, Achronim, who would go back and say all the brachos later on.
Oh, they do.
They would even. Ah. I think we paskin. Not to, as far as I know, but he definitely quotes those who would go back and say the bracha later on because of birchot hamitzvah
on Friday nights. In other words,
this is not, as far as I know, this is not the halacha. When you go back to say Shema later on, you don't say these. I mean, I think if you say, I don't know, can you say these multiple times a day?
It doesn't. I mean, based on what we just said, it's just shevach to Hashem, and you could.
So it kind of sounds like, yeah.
Yeah,
it could very well be. I would prefer to see that inside before giving anything definitive.
Done, but
there are some achronim who say you have to say that. I mean, you don't have to, because if you don't say a bracha for mitzvah, you fulfill the mitzvah, but ideally you should go back and say the bracha later at nighttime too. I can try for next week. If I can try to remember to bring that in, we can read through that inside. But then he brings a proof now in the second to last line. A pretty strong proof. So the Gemara says, or the Mishnah says, if you missed Kriyat Shema after 3 hours in the day, afterwards you could say Shema as if you're Korei Batorah. It's not, you're not getting the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, but you're getting a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You're getting a mitzvah of learning. But Gemara, we said lo hifsid. You don't lose out. So what does it mean, lo hifsid? The asikna, the Gemara says, my lo hifsid bevrachot. We're going to talk about this more next week, that I think lahalacha, we paskin, you only say the brachot for 4 hours. I'm going to look more into that. 4 hours. You only say the bracha between the third and the fourth hour. Why you can't say it after is a birchot ha-shevach that I have to look into more. I didn't think of that before. But when the Gemara says mikan ve'elach lo hifsid, let's say it's 3.5 hours into the day. When you say Shema, are you fulfilling a mitzvah? Well, the time is 3 hours. The cutoff is 3 hours. So now 3.5 hours in the day, you're fulfilling a mitzvah? No. Right, the Sofzma, you, let's say you say Shema, Sofzma Kriya Shema is, I have no idea what time it is today. Anybody?
Krishma?
What time is Kriya Shema today? Early?
Probably early.
8:30?
No, it's got to be early.
Earlier than that?
I
don't know.
It.
I guess like 9:30 probably.
9? So. No.
Late menu?
It could be, I don't know.
I don't know, it's a good question. It's different.
You're right, it probably is early. Let's just assume Sofzma Kriya Shema is 8:30, okay. So now somebody at 8:45 is saying Shema. The Mishnah said, the Gemara says, they say the brachot. Hold on a second. They're not getting a mitzvah. Right? At 8:45, their mitzvah's over. And the Gemara still says they can say the brachot. So the Rashba says, you see from here, they're not a birchot ha-mitzvah. If they were birchot ha-mitzvah, you shouldn't say them at a time when you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. That is his proof. Okay, so the Rashba says that birchot Kriya Shema are not a birchot ha-mitzvah. There's some type of Birchot HaShevach, Brachot of Praise. We don't, it's basically we're out of time here, but so not to leave anybody hanging, we'll see this more inside next week, but the Rambam and the Ramban, the Rambam doesn't spell it out, we assume it based on what he says. The Rambam says, do not make an interruption between HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael B'Yahava and Shema. No interruptions. So, when do we say you're not allowed to interrupt? When it's a Birchot HaMitzvah. You can't say on the Tila Lulav and then start talking to your friend and then shake your Lulav. You can't on Mikra Megillah and do something else and read the Megillah. Birchot HaMitzvah, you're supposed to have no interruptions for. So the Rambam says, don't interrupt between HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael B'Yahava and Shema. It sounds very much like the Rambam says it's a Birchot HaMitzvah, and the Ramban says it beferush. The Ramban beferush. We'll see this all next week inside. It's interesting and important to see inside. The Ramban says since his youth he was always bothered by why people say Kel Melech Ne'eman, because that's a hefsek. It's an interruption between HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael B'Yahava and Shema. You shouldn't say anything. Otherwise, you're interrupting your Birchot HaMitzvah.
They only say the Kel Melech.
It seems like there's an interesting history with Kel Melech Ne'eman that I would.
Some people say that on a regular basis.
It sounds from him that was going on. I think afterwards he says, and then later on I came across this medrash that had it, and that must be the source. I think initially he didn't know this. When he was younger, he didn't know why people said it. Yeah, there seems to be... The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say to say Kel Melech Ne'eman, the Rama says it. I don't know, there seems to be some type of interesting history with it. Okay.
10:19 is the name.
Chakras.
Shoshah. Oh, Shoshah. Yeah. Shema, so maybe 9 o'clock is Shema. Okay, it's okay. We can also look outside when we're on our way out. Okay, so the Ramban says that he never understood what people say Kel Melech Ne'eman, because that's a hefsek. It's an interruption between the Bracha and Shema. And he explains it, and then he says, finally, he asked one of his rebbeim, and they said, yeah, it's a mistake. We shouldn't be saying this because it's an interruption. And this is what the Ramban says. So what we have from here is machloket. We'll see this inside. We'll see the Rambam and the Ramban inside next week. We have machloket, or birchot kriyat shema, birchot hamitzvah, or a birchot hashevach. And the Shulchan Aruch says, seems to pass in like they're a Birchot HaShevach, but his opinion is, at least in one place he seems to pass in like a Birchot HaShevach, and another place he seems to pass in like they're a Birchot HaMitzvah, and it could be that it's both in an interesting combination, and that we'll talk more about next week. Okay.
Sure. Maybe the issue also